Welcome to worship. Whoever you are and wherever you are, you're very welcome to join in our worship today. And today we're starting to think about Jesus meeting his first disciples, choosing his first disciples. And the first disciples that he met and chose were the fishermen. So our call to worship reflects that. Caught hold by a story, the word of God is a lure which attracts us. A message of love for all. Redeemed by Jesus is the net which gathers all in. A promise of love for all. In that assurance of unconditional love, we worship the God who draws us all in. Let's worship our God.
Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Let's pray. Eternal God, beyond the fluctuations of time and the boundaries of space, your perspective must be so very different from ours. You see the bigger picture. We are caught up in what is happening here and now. In the cold of winter, we forget what it feels like to be warm. When we are full, we buy less food, when hungry, more. When we are ill or sad or lonely, being well or glad or confident of being loved can seem like an impossible dream. That was how it was for the fishermen of Galilee. And the farmers and tax collectors, the lepers and women of the night. When you burst into the world in Jesus of Nazareth, someone whose calmness and assurance, whose deep understanding of people and whose absolute trust in you, once seen, could never be forgotten. Loving God, come close to us now, we pray, as you did to those folk, so much like us long ago. Give us whatever it is we need to keep going or to stop and try something new. Give us permission to rest if we're tired, or an energy boost if we have grown lethargic. Forgive us if we have failed you or other people. And just as importantly, help us to forgive ourselves. Give us a job worth doing in the service of your kingdom, and the confidence to believe that we are up to the task. When things go well for us, may we be rightly proud, while never forgetting to give you thanks. When they go badly, when everything is crumbling around us and faith is at its lowest ebb, remind us of the one whose best efforts took him to a cross and whose invitation has never changed in 2,000 years and more. If we want to be his disciples, we must take up our cross and follow him. And so we bring this, our worship, our prayers, our lives. So let it be. Amen.
A reading from the first letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. The resurrection of Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. A reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Jesus calls his first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
As most of you will know, or those who live on the peninsula will know, this has been a bit of a wild week. Storm after storm, incessant rain, and the thing that causes most disruption, power cuts. On the peninsula, we've had several this week, and a couple of them were for several hours, overnight in fact. And when that happens, you suddenly realise how dependent you are on just being able to switch on a switch, put the light on, plug something in, watch the television. And when everything combines to make life difficult, well, you can either sit in the dark or and lament, although the phone would be off as well, so you can't talk to anybody, or you can sit and work out what your priorities are. You have no idea how long that state of affairs is going to go on for. It could be minutes, it could be hours, or, as has happened over the east side of the country recently, it could be weeks. So what are you going to do about it? In these situations, we must start somewhere. So we start with what we need to function. We need water, we need food, we need heat, especially at this time of year, and we need light and possibly communication. And most of us in the country are organised so that we can access all of those things, which we need to meet our needs, albeit on a basic level. So we are not at risk and we're not unsafe. And once we have those things to hand, we could manage for quite some time if we had to. Well, living in a rural area, we are probably more capable than folks in towns and cities. And to be fair, we probably have more control over our environment. Most of us have candles in the cupboard, a torch by the bed or by the door, because we're used to those pitch black nights. And the experiences this week, which we've gone through, resonated with me as I read the reading from Luke. The fisherman that Luke describes hadn't had a power cut, but they were becoming to feel more and more powerless because of what was happening around them. Fishing had always been a precarious way of earning a living, impacted as it was and is by political and economic changes, as well as the vagaries of the weather and the water. The fishermen who Jesus encountered had been fishing on Lake Gennesaret, which we heard in the reading, but that's the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias, all names for the same place. And this group were going to form the nucleus of his band of disciples. Well, they would have been really badly affected in Jesus' time by the recent building of the city of Tiberias nearby, because additional taxes were being levied to fund the building project. All this took a heavy financial toll on everyone, including the fishing community. It also caused great resentment. An unsuccessful night's fishing, such as Simon had just had, would not only have been disappointing, it would have been devastating and would have had serious consequences. We hear in the story that Jesus was teaching a crowd on the shore when he came over to the boats. Crowds were listening carefully to what Jesus was saying as he moved towards the boats. And Jesus seemed to have no thought or consideration for Simon's well-being or his exhaustion, as well as his disappointment caused by there being no fish that night. Disappointment compounded by worry over how he would meet his financial commitment. Simon wasn't really listening to what Jesus was saying. He was aware of them, obviously, because of the crowd. He was probably too intent on getting the nets clean and then getting home to get some rest. He probably felt just like leaving the boat and going. But as I said before, life is about paying attention to what must be done. Priorities. He had had no catch that night. And if he didn't clean and mend the nets, there would be no catch tomorrow night, or the next night, or the nights after that. Jesus gets into Simon's boat, and he seems to take for granted that Simon will just row him out when he asks him to row him out from the shore. Well, that hasn't been my experience. If I've gone into a shop or a cafe just around their closing time, it's usually made patently clear that you are an inconvenience. Well, Simon obviously didn't do that. He obeyed. Jesus had been teaching the crowds and fulfilling their curiosity, meeting their needs. Now Jesus was in the boat, and he was about to meet the needs of the fishermen. He tells them to let down their nets, and although they say to him, "We've just done that, we've been out all night, and we've caught nothing," in spite of that, they obey. They obey someone who is not a fisherman, and who probably does not know the waters, but who can relate to them somehow, relate to their worry and anxiety, to their exhaustion and their fearfulness. In Matthew chapter 11, we read, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This must be the message that the fishermen are getting somehow from Jesus, because they do as he says. And then, after the huge catch of fish, they pulled their boats up on the beach and they followed Jesus. The huge catch of fish, everything they'd been striving for. Their boats, their nets, everything they thought they needed in life, they left and abandoned. It's part of this message of this story for us that we worry about things which are not important. What is it that makes you feel worried and burdened? Can you leave it behind? Weary and burdened. Interesting words to use, not the same as tired and exhausted. But we recognise them, don't we? We've all been there, haven't we? You may have been doing something which you struggle to see the purpose of, or you're doing it out of duty and you don't really want to do it. And you feel weary, and the task is a burden. It lasts longer because you don't want to do it. It takes you ages, because you divert into all sorts of other activities and you have to keep going back to it because it has to be done. You might say you're tired and you may look exhausted, but it's just because you don't want to do whatever it is. And then something comes along which you do want to do. The sun comes out and there's work to do in the garden, or the dog needs a walk. The rain has stopped and you can see the windows and you go and clean them. You don't feel tired or exhausted, and it takes no time at all to do those tasks. Doing something you want to do is an enjoyable effort. The disciples wanted to follow Jesus. It was not going to be easy or light work, but the difference was that they wanted to do it. The fishing was to earn enough to pay taxes to people they despised. They had to do it, but they didn't want to do it. Well, I began this by talking about the power cuts in the area and how, when that happens, we have to prioritise our needs. But once things return to normal, we can quite quickly move from meeting the needs to survive to addressing the things we want to do. We heard how the fishermen prioritised their needs. They were working to pay their taxes, to meet someone else's demands. And then they saw Jesus, someone who could actually meet their real needs, and they decided to follow him.
And now we bring our prayers for others and for ourselves. Lord God, it's hard for us to imagine what it must have been like to hear Jesus teaching for the first time. The actual words, original words, from his very own mouth, spoken with such passion and conviction that crowds gathered everywhere he went, pushing forward so as not to miss a single word. much easier for us to put ourselves in the shoes or the sandals of Simon and his partners, James and John, sons of Zebedee. All night long they had fished and they caught nothing. The bills would go unpaid that week, and their children would go hungry. Living God, there are too many people in our world today who struggle to make ends meet. And we pray for them. The ones for whom poverty is all they have ever known, and the once privileged ones who thought it could never happen to them. We pray for the coming of your kingdom, where justice is the norm and real lasting peace flows from it. But it feels a long way off, and our prayer is a costly one, because you have no one other than us to do the work of kingdom building. But we're tired, Lord, bone achingly, soul shakingly weary. We've been doing what we thought you wanted, fishing for people, or at least doing our best to keep the church going. And it hasn't worked. Our nets are empty. We have no more to give. And so our prayer today is for ourselves. But it's not a selfish one. We want your kingdom to come because the world needs it more than ever. We want to be a part of something good and hopeful because we need it. And we do not know where to begin. Loving God, speak to us the word of life that alone can energize and empower us. Help us to stop and to listen. Not for what you once said to somebody else, but for what you are saying to us today. Stop us in our tracks. Bring us to our knees and fill us with new hope, new vision, a new confidence for the future. Lord, we bring our prayers to you because we hope and we believe and we trust that you're a God who hears us. So we pray for ourselves, for our family, our friends, our neighbours, our loved ones. We pray for those we find so hard to love. We pray for the church. In these times of change and transition and new hopes, new vision, help us. Help us to do the things you want us to do in this place, in this time. All our prayers we offer to you, our God of love and hope and vision and possibility. Amen.
Let's dedicate our offering. Let us pray. Loving God, we bring our empty nets and ask you to fill them. We bring our tiredness and our discouragement and ask you to fill us with energy and with hope. We bring our skills, the skills we have, and ask you to teach us new ways of using them. We bring such vision as we have of the kingdom, of your kingdom, and ask you to enlarge it. We bring ourselves as we are and ask you to use us as you can in the service of your kingdom of joy and your kingdom of peace. Amen. And now let's join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Thank you. hope you've enjoyed being with us today. We've enjoyed having your company and hope you join us again soon. So as we go from this place, let us take with us the message of Jesus, the instruction of Jesus, and the hope of Jesus, to teach and to care, to feel and to heal, and to look forward in faith to a better world.